Jeezy.
Yeah.
Looks like they back for a fifth season, man.
Who that?
Sports Roundtable.
Who?
S-R-T crew.
Whoa.
S-R-S-R-S-R-S-R-T. They got that realness flowing in they DNA. Damn you lame if you ain't tuned to S-R-T today. H-O got that payload when he say so. What you betting on?
Okay.
Don't get mad at me on fantasy. Break up Kyrie LeBron.
Oh, no.
I be smooth as sports superhero Hancock in the mix. Deal with roll tie forever. Real talk, you know who he gon' pick.
See where I be with S-R-T. Behind the glass, that G-Money.
They
went strong, I never lose. Six man elite, that's Jay Smooth.
All you other sports radio shows, it's fake news. Believe it. Turn up your radios, cause it's time for SRT Radio.
Yeah.
What up, what up, what up? It's the Sports Roundtable live from SRT Studios overlooking Atlantic Station. And we're in the building the day after the NBA, well, the Zion sweepstakes is what we go call it. Because it's just like the Zion sweepstakes. It was just Zion here, Zion that. Which team was this? He played. It was just crazy. But either way, I think the NBA sent a message, and I think we'll get into that as far as the draft. At least the ping pong balls, or I don't know, they got some kind of new way that they got it with the numbers, and somebody said that Hawks was one number off. But either way, Memphis got the number two pick, and I'm glad my boys are happy about that. So big ups to the Memphis Grizzlies and my homeboys here in the studio. Congratulations to that. Hopefully, Ja Morant or RJ Barrett will be a great fit.
Yep.
Going along with Mr. Jaren Jackson for the Memphis Grizzlies. Conley may be out of here at this point. But as G say, somebody gonna have to get fleeced to take on that contract. But thanks for tuning in. Great show today. I am your humble host, H.O. Of course, I got my Memphis guys, my right hand and left hand. My main man, Hancock, the sports superhero. What up, Han?
What's up, big homie? What's up, crew?
Ain't that shaking? Now, before I get you to going, I don't know how ironic this is. I know Booker went 3-for-3 last week, game winning RBI, things of that nature. But just to let you know how I keep up with college basketball, there is a Boogie that's actually signed with Memphis.
Boogie Ellis, yeah, he's a
former Duke thing, so you ain't got to get into it.
But yeah, we'll take him. He got the right name. We'll see what happens with it. Penny doing his thing. I think the recruiting class moved up to number one now, didn't it?
Yeah, well, actually, and they actually signed another transfer from good shooting guard, though, but I can't remember what school. But he got a transfer in as well.
Yeah, well, you can't make a good meal without groceries.
Right.
So he's getting some groceries in there, so hopefully he'll cook up something nice for the Memphis Tigers. As long as they've been Memphis Tigers or University of Memphis now, I still have a hard time because I just grew up Memphis State.
Yeah.
That's where we were, you know. And if you're a true Memphian, you know that.
Well, Elliott Perry represented last night.
EP did his thing. Elliott Perry slot.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he was a
minority owner, too.
Hey, my man doing his thing, man. You know, he was the one that brought Penny up. How about that?
Exactly.
Yeah, so they were at the Treadwell for the story out there in the Hamp, baby.
There it is. Of course, my main man, Jay Smooth, was back in the building. And I'm sure you're happy about the Memphis number two pick.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was I actually didn't watch the draft lottery. I was watching that documentary on Muhammad Ali.
Was it good?
Yeah, it was pretty good. It pretty much, it didn't delve more so into his life, but it actually covered his boxing career as a whole. Each fight on an individual basis. But H.O., back to your point, I'm excited.
Yep.
Slick Money actually called me, let me know. Hey,
so he called everybody.
Yeah. So he's excited. You know, the entire city is excited. Memphis basketball, well, it's too early to tell, but good signs.
Exactly. And, of course, the man behind the glass, executive producer of the show, Mr. G Money. What up, G?
Yo.
There it is, the famous Joe. And we got a great show for you, man. Thanks for everybody tuning in, Facebook Live, on our SRT Sports page. We appreciate it. You want to follow the show or make sure you follow the show on social media at SRT Radio. You want to be a part of the show, give us a call, 404-603-8770. We got some hot news coming up that we're going to talk about this draft order and what kind of message that it sent. We got some thoughts about the new Lakers coach and how we're breaking that down. And also, we can just throw this out. Who had the best performance as far as game-ending, game seven performance between Kawhi, Steph, and CJ McCollum? You know, so we'll go over that just to throw a little basketball talk in the first hour, and then we're coming back. My main man G got some extra credit that we're going to talk about here around 7:30. And my main man D Will himself will be calling in around 7:45 to get some off his chest. So we got some questions for him. In the second half of the show, obviously we're going to break down this NBA playoffs and who's going to have the most interesting offseason this season. Will it be the Sixers, the Lakers, Golden State, or Houston? Something to talk about. So that is your full-fledged show. If you got any more, anything else to talk about, please shoot us a message on Facebook. Again, you can give us a call and get something off your chest. And with that being said, G, let's jump into some of this hot news.
Blazing. Hot, hot, hot. Scorching. Red hot.
This is why I'm hot.
It's the Sports Roundtable Hot News.
Sports Roundtable Hot News, sponsored by good old friends at the Big Easy Grill. Looking for the best New Orleans seafood in town, going over to the Big Easy Grill, 1193 Collier Road, Atlanta, Georgia, where they have the best shrimp in town. Two bites to get rid of one. It is all day long. And don't forget the SRT discount. Any meals, $25 or more. Mention SRT or Sports Roundtable, you get a 10% discount. Don't forget. All right, fellas. Jay Smooth, I'm going to start with you first because you seem to be a little more, I guess, you know, you was on Jared Jackson, liking him, and now you got the number two pick. So I'm gonna, your thoughts on the NBA draft order, and as far as how do they do it, are you happy that you got to your spot, or just give me your whole thoughts on just the whole draft from last night.
Overall, this was probably one of the more interesting NBA draft lottery shows in probably quite a while. The new changes, and for those who aren't aware, in the past, the team with the worst record in the NBA at the end of the regular season, they had at least a 25% chance to come away with that top pick. But now the NBA has, to sort of mitigate or lessen tanking, they've actually decided to go to a system that rewards the three teams with the worst three records they're given. And Jill has to probably back me up on this one. They're given a 14% chance each.
Yep.
To score their top pick. So, you know, overall, they've changed the sort of the lottery seating in a sense. They've restructured things, which has made things a lot more interesting, which enabled my team, the Memphis Grizzlies, to jump up to that second spot. But overall, I love the way things played out, especially for the New Orleans Pelicans, the Grizzlies. You know, if you're a Knicks or a Lakers fan, this is definitely not what you want to see. But the thing about it, if you're every team in the NBA, the thing is that you're at this point, you're presented with options that you did not have at least 24 hours ago. Everyone has an opportunity to reshape or remake their roster from some standpoint. And, you know, I'm happy for Alvin Gentry and even David Griffin, the new general manager of the Pelicans, because this was the team that they were sort of faced with losing Anthony Davis, their franchise player. And now they have an opportunity to get a guy who's considered by many to be, you know, one of maybe the best, one maybe the most widely regarded talent in maybe the last 10 years, maybe, depending on who you ask.
Mm-hmm.
But I love the new draft, the lottery formula. It's done wonders for the NBA because I think in the last few years, the team with the worst record has won or they've received their first pick. I think the Phoenix Suns, I think at least three out of the last 4 years, the team with the worst record has received that first pick. So I like what the NBA is doing. They've done a pretty good job.
All right, Han. It's on you, bro.
Well, they succeeded in making themselves relevant, trying to take a page out of what the NFL has done, which is, you know, not only just capture audience while your season is going on, but be able to, you know, stay in the conversation now throughout. Even though, you know, you got the playoffs going on, but it's the tail end of the season. I think it was probably viewed, I think, up over 70%, 700%, whatever it was. But the thing, I'm still a little skeptical with it. It's too much little mysteries and little intricacies involved in it. For me, I think it was a little shady. I'm going to be honest with you. Yeah, I think it's shady. You had the last four picks with a team like Memphis, and no slight to Memphis because I'm glad they're in it and they got a chance. But if they had 6% chance, basically, or whatever, and the Knicks had 14 or whatever they had, and they come down to the Final Four, how do they bump them back? Yes, to me, yeah, this was a shot at everybody to stop tanking. That's what this was all about.
Okay. You know, it's the statement.
It's a method to the madness, and that's what it was. Now, to me, you cut your nose off to spite your face, because if you're the NBA, you got to have New York be relevant. Mm-hmm. And this was a chance to do that by putting somebody's star power there. Now, they still have a way of doing it, because I think everybody is about 80 to 90% sure that KD is going to New York. So they'll still have their star there. But you had an automatic guy in Zion there. So I think it's always levels and layers to everything. Nothing with this much money happens by chance.
That was a great way to say it.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So there's something else going on here. You know, if you ever watched The Wizard of Oz, things was happening. And then they look behind the curtain and this dude pulling the string.
Yeah.
And this has happened. It's been, you know, back from the Patrick Ewing thing when he went to New York. It's always some way orchestrated, believe me. And I just really believe it was. And I believe this was a way to kind of curtail tanking. Mm-hmm. A little bit, to throw a shot at those people that, like Dallas, who basically cut their team and, you know, was trying to build for the future. They did get Porzingis in the thing, but they were tanking to get a slot in this draft.
Right.
And, you know, they got kind of, you know, pushed to the back. And, you know, we talk about teams being rewarded. Look at the Hawks, though. They weren't rewarded, and you always talk about they didn't tank. They tried and played hard, and they basically got the shaft, you know, to me. I mean, they're picking two in the top 10, I guess, which is not bad, but, you know, from all accounts, this draft is top-heavy from what everybody says. Yeah. But I think that's a little myth, too, because when we look at the playoffs tonight, you got two guys that are considered top three, top four in the NBA right now, and they were picked at 15.
Mm-hmm. Well, so. I can go ahead and give it to you more than that.
Go ahead.
First of all, just to give people something to think about, the two lowest TV markets in the league went 1 and 2. Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
Think about it.
Yeah.
The two worst TV markets in the league in the NBA went 1 and 2.
Mm.
All right. Second is when you look at the Western Conference. And the big stage is the backcourts, you know, Golden State versus Portland.
Right.
Name me the schools that they went to.
Yeah. You got Davidson.
Washington.
Washington State.
Lehigh.
Weber State.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so.
And we're all cramming up on the TV watching the guys from these schools.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
to entertain us in the NBA. So to your point, hey, you know, I guess sometimes, you know, the glit ain't always gold.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, you know, don't always look over here.
Exactly. Yeah. So we got some facts for you, man. Just give you something to think about. G, your thoughts on the draft though, real quick.
It brought up the question: is this the end of tanking? I think teams are still going to be willing to take that risk. risk it all, as the kids say.
Hey, let me ask you this real quick. Can you tank and then purposely tank? Tanking is just you just bad and you don't know you bad, but purposely tanking is that you're really trying to lose.
We'll put it like this. A lot of people thought that like the Hawks were tanking. I don't think they were tanking. They just have a really young team. They just put the players out there.
Right.
But Phoenix was tanking. Dallas was tanking.
Right.
And Dallas waited too long to tank. They're like, oh, they changed their mind. Like, oh, you know what? We want that pick, but it was too late. But Phoenix, you had the number one pick, and you got worse. it's an art, I guess you might say. But I think teams are still gonna try to be creative to position themselves in the draft, but. The teams that finish with the three worst records are picking third, fifth, and sixth.
Facts.
But you know, maybe they need some. They need a Daryl Morey type person to not just with the analytics of the draft lottery. There needs to be a guy for that teams may be hiring.
Yeah.
I still think some people don't think there's a conspiracy with New Orleans getting the number one pick. I think there is. The league is still trying to make New Orleans happen as far as being a great NBA city. I mean, the fans will support. They've hosted the All-Star game like every other year, but it's just not happening. They're not able to keep players there. And this is just like, well, you know, this is just another opportunity for New Orleans to mess this up.
Well, to piggyback on what you were saying, G, the owner, Georgia, whoever her name is.
His wife, Miss Benson.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Gail Benson.
Gail. She was at a
little rally.
No, it was a graduation.
Yeah, that's what it was. I heard the thing.
She was at a graduation and still... And our graduation speech was still about the call, about New Orleans and things of that nature. Mm. So they still crying, and they get the number one pick, and it just somehow, it somehow you can think that for whatever reason, the NFL, NBA, always trying to appease New Orleans for whatever reason. Mm. Remember, they were big on blocking the Chris Paul to the Lakers back in the day. Mm-hmm. Taking over the team, saying that, you know, this and this and that. I'm just like, but let's move on to something else, and I'm gonna tie these two stories together and see what you guys think. New Lakers coach, Frank Vogel, Hancock, your team, your thoughts. Dead. You got him in.
Basically, this is a Game of
Thrones. And Jason Kidd as well. Yeah,
this is Game of Thrones, man. You got, you know, the management, which is Daenerys, mm-hmm. you know, along with Jon Snow being LeBron and all those people. And all it is who's got the power. They're trying to make sure that they don't give LeBron this organization. Mm-hmm. You know, and he has 3 years left on his contract. They had Ty Lue to come in. They said, Ty Lue, you got 3 years. Along with him, but when he leave, you can go with it. Yep. Basically, that's what it was about. Mm-hmm. They didn't give him the 5-year deal that he was looking for. So, but it kind of insulates themselves to say, well, look, we tried to give LeBron his coach. His coach didn't want to come here. Mm-hmm. You know, even though it was it's a shady, dirty looking deal, but the average NBA fan just looks and says, well, Tyronn Lue, he turned it down.
Right.
Apparently, it was something else he didn't want to do. So, this is all a power struggle about how much they want to give control to Clutch Sports. Mm. And, you know, like I said, this him being a player and also managing other careers while he's doing it, to me, that's shady anyway. You know, and it is what it is. And the Lakers are not going to be She's been around where there was management and then there was players. Mm-hmm. There were certain players that were able to do more things like Magic, but he was in with her dad.
Right.
Well, to me, LeBron burned that bridge when he wouldn't take a meeting with Luke Walton, which was her coach, who she wanted to be the coach of the Lakers, mm-hmm. who was basically Phil Jackson's surrogate son, if you want to say, which in turn, I guess, made her, the mom, because her and Phil were together.
Absolutely.
So she looks and sees that LeBron kind of shades this dude and, you know, pretty much not doing what he wants to do as a, you know, following along with what he wanted to do as a coach. That alienated the whole situation between he and Jenny, if you want to, if from what I see, Jeannie, whatever her name is. I want to say whatever name, whatever. Jeannie. I said Jeannie at first, Jeannie Buss.
Right.
And I think from that, it all went bad. And I don't think they were able and have been able to smooth this out anymore. And I know LeBron, he's probably looking at this like, man, this wasn't the right move. Especially when his ally was Magic, who he thought would be the bridge and the buffer, mm-hmm. just up and says, I'm out.
Right.
And he let on a little of that on his show to say, Magic didn't even say, you know, kiss me goodbye, nothing. He just left. You know, he didn't say it that nice, but you know what I'm saying.
Right.
So I think this power structure just makes everything just up and at. The Lakers look, like I said, they look thirsty. They look kind of just disjointed. This whole thing, they're going to have to get through these 3 years. Because from what I understand, LeBron, if they do trade him, there's a big kicker that comes in. So money-wise, it'll tie up some more money. So they can't just trade him and just be free and clear of him, even though he has a no trade. So they're going to wait this out because she still has the upper hand to say, LeBron, your legacy is on the line. Mm-hmm. You won't sit there and not play hard because if you go out here and, you know, don't try to win or whatever, it affects how you looked upon as, you know, one of the greats. Mm-hmm. So she knows, and the Lakers know, he's going to put forth an effort to win at whatever they put together. And I think they're going to put out a decent product, but trying to get that second piece is going to be the issue. But back, you asked me about Vogel. I went something completely different.
Well, I mean, obviously, but that he's tied into it.
Vogel is just there until they can bring Jason Kidd up to be the head coach.
And I think you kind of said that in a roundabout way. You said 3 years. When LeBron left, when he lead, you lead.
Yeah.
So, same
you
different. Out, same different. All right, Smooth.
Yeah, as far as the actual hire itself, Frank Vogel, this is sort of a, for lack of a better phrase, a middle-of-the-road coach. I mean, mm-hmm. for his coaching career, he was 304, 291 losses. 304 wins, that is, 291 losses with stints with the Pacers and 2 years with the Orlando Magic. Frank Vogel is as a coach, in NBA circles, I think in some regards, he's considered more of an Eric Spoelstra type. This is a guy who rose through the ranks. He came up as a sort of a video assistant, and, you know, he learned the game that way and became, you know, what he is now, the head coach of the Lakers. I won't say it's a bad hire. The problem is, and Hancock pointed everything out, we just don't know what the Lakers are doing. I don't think they even know what they're doing. It's a problem. For Rob Pelinka, it was a win because he got Vogel to take the three-year deal. They don't want any remnants or residual from the entire LeBron era.
Right.
And the whole situation with LeBron has pretty much placed this franchise in a holding pattern for the next three
next
years.
3 years.
No one knows what's going to happen. Maybe they will be competitive. Maybe Frank Vogel will get something out of them. But the problem is that Jason Kidd is his lead assistant. So I expect Jason Kidd, I don't know if it will be intentional or not, but he will undermine Frank Vogel at some point. So,
I agree.
I think for Rob Pelinka, if Jason Kidd does undermine Frank Vogel, at least it's only a 3-year contract. So you only have to, if you do decide that, hey, let's get rid of him, you only have to pay him for another year or two. Jason Kidd probably will be the coach of the Lakers next, not this coming season, but the following season or the one after mm-hmm. that. But overall, the entire move just screams, hey, what we really don't know what we're doing. And it's really as simple as that.
Listen, the move is basically a resume builder for Frank Vogel. This makes his LinkedIn account look so good.
Yeah.
This all is done. That's it. Because nothing else ties to this. This is just out of nowhere. This is to your point, Han. I'm going to show you whose franchise this is.
Exactly.
But you better watch it, Jeannie, because there are some minority owners that aren't happy.
Yeah, but it's a whole lot of people lined up to get a big piece of the Cadillac franchise.
Oh, ain't no doubt NBA. About it. Yeah.
People, minority, you know, it's a reason you call it minority.
It's some folks, it's some minority folk got some big cheese, though.
Yeah, it's some folks out there.
You know what I'm saying?
Waiting to cut a check.
They waiting to cut a check, so she better make sure she does these things right. Let's move to this real quick, and I want to get you guys thoughts on this. And G, I'm going to start with you. Now, we had some closeout games in the last series. And we're going to just go back for a minute. Steph Curry had a closeout game where he had 33 points, 23 in the fourth. Kawhi Leonard, we all keep seeing it. The 39 shot, 41 point performance in game seven with the four bounces at the rim to close out game seven for that series. Then we saw CJ McCollum just tear up the Denver Nuggets in game seven. So, G, I'm going to start with you.
Mid-range.
Which one of those three, in your opinion, had the best closeout performance?
I think it was Kawhi, because he it was all out of necessity. He had 41 points on 39 shots. People have been comparing him to Kobe. That was a Kobe-like stat line. 16 for 39, but he did it out of necessity every single shot. It was interesting for a couple of reasons, such as he hit so many big shots, especially in the fourth quarter, and it seemed like the rest of his team was
scared to shoot.
Yeah, pretty much they were scared to shoot the ball. So it just him in that moment to where, okay, I think he was prepared to put the team on his back, but it was very clear that he had to do it because it was just him out there by himself. It seemed like at a lot of moments.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I do respect what Kawhi did, but to me, when I look at the performance and what they did down the line, CJ showed out that game to me. He looked at a guy who was the true leader on his team, being Dame, and Dame didn't have it.
Right.
And he was able to step up and take shots and make shots at big times of the game. I mean, you know, yeah, the 40 shots do kind of, you know, look kind of crazy with Kawhi. I know he did have to take them, I agree, because no one else would step up. Mm-hmm. But as far as a performance at a time when their backs were against the wall and they had no other choice, also because the other guy, the leader, was just not there. Kawhi is the leader.
Right.
Dame is the second guy. I mean, Dame is the first guy. CJ is the second guy. And he stepped up to the challenge. I thought he just performed well in that game. He really did. So I'll give him the top performance. I had to respect what Steph did. You know, I've been one of the most critical ones here on the panel to say he doesn't have big moments in crunch time. He'll make a shot if they're ahead to kind of close it. He's made a couple of shots when they've been ahead. But for him to see that KD goes out of the game and go back to being Steph 2015 was big. And he's taking that mantle over to show, y'all must have forgot, I can still play. I just think that he still has not made that game winner that I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. But you can't knock that. One reason he had to make game one is because they played so well and they win a lot of games.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you have to kind of couch what I'm saying in that respect. But to me, the weekend belonged to CJ, his performance.
Cool. All right, Smooth.
Yeah, I completely agree with Hancock, and I'll just build upon his point. The Denver Chicken Nuggets, they actually had two opportunities to close out the Portland Trailblazers, and not only in game seven, but CJ McCollum showed up in game six also with 30, had 37 in game seven. And this is a guy who, we mentioned it earlier, from Lehigh.
Yep.
Who, you know, no one expects this from him. You know, he's an undersized two guard. Exactly. What is he, 6'3", 6'4"?
Yeah, he and Steph about the same size, so somewhere in there. Six,
yeah.
Three.
He has an incredible mid-range game. You know, there's a lot to be desired from three, especially in this era. But him dominating in the, well, as far as his mid-range game, the way he did in both games, game six and seven, it was impressive. And I think the most interesting thing is, as Hancock pointed out, you know, his number one option, his main guy, Dame played poorly, and especially in the first half of Game 7. And I think the Trailblazers were down as much as 17 points, and they fought back and took the lead. And CJ closed them out in an amazing way. And, you know, in my opinion, he had the most impressive performance.
Gotcha. Yeah. All right, there it is, fellas.
Just wanted to add before we go to break. L.A. Broadus in the chat said, it was Leonard. He's battling the Drake curse.
That's a good point.
That's tough to battle that.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Appreciate that, L.A. But we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to put my main man G up to the stage because we got some G's extra credit coming up. So make sure you keep it locked. You listen to the Sports Roundtable with the SRT crew on the Real 1100, srtradio.com.
We'll be back with more Sports Roundtable on the Real 1100 AM. Are you looking for a new, pre-owned, or used car to get you around the city or simply from point A to point B? Look no further. Jay's Used Cars is the place to be. Jay believes your job is your credit, and no matter what your situation is, Jay will get you in a car. Visit Jay's at 3820 Lawrenceville Highway in Tucker, and mention Sports Roundtable, get a 10% discount. Go to jaysusedcars.com to check out the inventory. Jay's Used Cars, where they stack them deep and sell them cheap. Sports Roundtable.
How long you been married? 15 years? This man don't even argue no more, do you? You know, the important thing is to see the game. That's all that matters now. You just want to watch the game. See, I was, when you young and married, you be trying to argue for the game come on. That's dumb. You know, the game be coming on, man. And she be like, can I just talk to you? Like, man, I'm trying to watch the game. And they leave the room like it's over. But they wait. 2 seconds left in the game. Atlanta Hawks down by one. Dominique in there about to slam. Click, can I talk to you, please? You could wait 2 seconds. Is this game more important than our relationship?
Only on WWE, The Real 1100 AM. We know here on the Sports Roundtable that we leave you wanting more each and every week. Well, I, G-Money, am here to help, to give you the info on the news you might have missed. This is G's Extra Credit.
All right, welcome back to Sports Roundtable, and this is G's Extra Credit, in which we'll talk about a couple of things that might have missed that happened in the news this past week. So last week we talked about the Kentucky Derby and the controversy question mark that happened with maximum security crossing the finish line first but being disqualified for impeding the paths of several horses. That was the ruling, and Country House, who was a 65-1 odds, was named the winner. But the owners of maximum security have filed a lawsuit against the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission and race stewards, seeking to reverse the disqualification and get their prize money. So, I'll start with you, Jay. From what you know about this controversy question mark, is it worth the time? Do you think they have a case at all?
They have a case, but we talked about this last year and how when horses win these races, those big three races, the Derby, Preakness, and I forget the last one,
the Belmont.
But these are sort of generational changing races. These races can provide a sort of generational wealth that the owner of these horses can receive, their families, and not only for those families, the owner's families, but the families, the horse's offspring. Like, say, for instance, if Maximum Security did win the race, his offspring, their price tag goes up. Yep. I mean, his children, not only does their worth skyrocket, but, you know, their popularity, their fame. I mean, it's in that case, I think the lawsuit might be worth it because it sort of changes the trajectory of your family and, you know, how far they could probably go. But I don't think they have a shot. But I mean, when you look at it that way, it's probably worth it.
Hancock, what do you think?
I don't know, man. I ain't grew up around horses, man. They wasn't running racing to me. I've been watching, you know, certain horses like Secretariat back in the day capture the imagination and, you know, Seattle Slough and all. But, you know, these horses, I didn't know the race was on. I missed it. But me, when finding out about the disqualification, you know, what I did here is going to be very hard for them to do anything else about it or can't get it overturned. So it's a wrap. It's just like, you know, they just need to view it just like the Fab Five. You know, you took them out of the books, but, you know, they were good.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They can just say, we won the race. You know, and people still stood that horse because he won. He was faster.
Yeah.
So I'm sure they'll get some kind of acclaim from that way. You can't put a black movie. They'll still stud him out, you know, and they'll make their money. But they just won't have the prestige of saying that they were the, you know, victor of the race.
Yeah. H.O.?
I think for no other reason you have to do it because, again, this is the first time an instant replay has changed this. I didn't even know horse racing had instant replay other than to show the finish.
Photo finish.
But I didn't know they had instant replay to overturn something.
Neither.
So obviously the jockey and the owner didn't either. That's why they trying this too. You know, nothing beat a failure but a try. You know, if this is the first time that this is being overturned, then why not be the first time that you can sue and get it overturned? So I feel like go ahead and give it a shot. Didn't they suspend him anyway?
Yeah, I think they suspended the jockey.
So yeah, you on the losing.
They
you
just
on
find the, somebody else. Wait, you just the crown, put
yeah, you on the losing end on both sides. So yeah, you might as well give it a shot. Go ahead and try to sue and see what happens. See what comes out of that.
All right, the second story comes from the golf world. For those who followed golf for a while, know about John Daly.
So does the package, though. But go ahead.
Of course, yes. The PGA Championship is coming up, and it's taking place at the Bethpage Black course. And John Daly has been given permission to use a cart during the tournament. And the PGA's Americans with Disabilities Act committee gave Daly an exemption because of arthritis in his knee, which may have prevented him from competing if he had to walk. But now he says the cart is a disadvantage.
Mm. Yeah, to the other golfer.
But he's saying it's a disadvantage to him also. But he can't walk the course. I'll start with our resident golf expert, Hancock.
Yes.
What do you think of the, as far as like the PGA, the guy, the, you know, the golfers aren't able to use carts, but this is at least the second case I've heard of in which someone may need to use a cart and it being an advantage or disadvantage.
Yeah. Arnold Palmer rolling over in his grave. It's crazy, man. I mean, it's if you can't abide by the rules and you can't play, retire. It just is what it is. Go play on Saturdays and drink your beer and smoke your cigarettes there. This is supposed to be a competition. Mm-hmm. But this lets you know golf is not a sport. It's a skill.
Yeah.
Because anytime if it was a sport, they make them run to the holes and then hit the ball hit the next shot. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you put some athleticism in it.
Right.
But this, you hit the ball and you walk to it.
Mm.
You hit it again and walk to it. Mm. So it's not a sport. Golf is a skill. And if you're going to allow someone to circumvent the rules that way, then you're not making the playing field level. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, the walk, you're talking about if the course is 50, 700 yards or whatever,
mm-hmm. right.
and you got to walk that, then that takes something out of you, especially in the heat, you know, or against the elements. But if I'm riding along, I'm not out of breath when I get to my bar and take my time to hit.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't think it's right. They haven't been doing it. They're making this exemption for people. If you got to do that, then you need to start a tour for, you know, the challenged. And I say that nicely, you know.
Right.
And if you're challenged physically or some way type, like, start another tour in that way. And then everybody can be in a car.
Yeah.
But other than that, they need to be walking the course, man.
Before I go to you, H.O., Tiger Woods did not sound sympathetic.
Yes.
In which he said, as far as J.D. taking a cart, I walk with a broken leg. So that was the end of the sentence.
What's y'all favorite saying? Facts.
Yeah.
Facts.
And that was in 2008 when he won the U.S. Open. But what do you think about this cart?
Isn't golf a retired sport?
A lot of retired people do play sports.
So if you are failing at a retired sport, you need to just go on. Just leave it alone. I mean, this is a retired sport that you have fun doing, and sometimes you can get a check. Right?
Yeah.
If you can't meet the qualifications of being retired physically, then again, you don't need to participate.
No, we don't.
I don't even this thing. this is absolutely insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's simple as that. If you don't meet the qualification physically in a retired sport, then you may not need to participate. Simple as that.
Jay, what do you think?
So as far as John Daly's health goes, this is a 53-year-old man who has, according to what I've read, osteoarthritis in his right knee. So that's one reason he shouldn't be playing. The only reason he's there is because he won the PGA Championship in 1991, which granted him a lifetime exemption. So he can come back, he can be 80 years old and say, hey, I want to play, and they'll let him play. John Daly is ranked 1,836th in the world. So there's no reason that he should be here. He probably won't make the cut, which I don't expect him to. I expect this to only be a two-day event for him. So it probably won't be too many miles on the cart. But this is pretty much a waste of time. It's a waste of John Daly's time. I would have liked to have seen, you know, some young amateur from Stanford or, you know, some elite golf school play. I mean, they could have let me play. It pretty much is a non-story, G. After Friday.
Yeah,
pretty much.
I remember this running a little bit of the Casey Martin situation. That was probably about 15, 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. But I think the PGA was trying to do you a favor.
Pretty much.
And now you don't like it. So, I mean, what do you want? Last story here. So, we'll be talking about NBA free agency or the offseason a little bit later. The NBA is expected to move up the start of their moratorium on free agent negotiations from midnight on July 1st, moving it back 6 hours. So 6 p.m. on June 30th is when teams can start talking to players. So, you know, you won't have to have a situation like Magic sitting outside of LeBron's house until midnight before talking to him. I'll start with you, H.O. Does the 6 hours matter?
They talking anyway. It don't even matter. It just matter of they just putting it out to the public so it can be some structure into it. But I ain't got to talk to you, but I can text you. I mean, I can FaceTime you. I can chat with you. So, it doesn't matter to the NBA players. It's just to allow the public to know that we're moving the time back. It's pretty much all they're doing at this particular point. So,
Hancock?
Yeah, like you said, man, they're already circumventing the system and doing everything. So this, again, is another story to try to keep the NBA in the headlines. That's all it is, man. So, yeah, more power to them.
Jay?
Yeah, according to Adam Silver and a lot of NBA execs, they're tired of being up all night, which I get. Over the years, I don't even know why the deadline was 12 a.m. anyway. That sounds ludicrous anyway, but I think it became a big issue for the media also. People just don't want to be up at night, but just like John Daly, this is a non-story also.
For real. Yeah, I'm with you on that.
All right, well, that'll do it for G's Extra Credit. I'll do better next week.
No, you did a good job.
You did a good job. I just can't believe these folks actually making these a story.
Yeah.
You know. So that's the thing.
It's a slow time. We got the playoffs, and then after that, it's going to be a tough
summer
couple
league.
Weeks in June before the draft.
Oh, before yeah.
Before it might be a tough couple of weeks.
Yeah, well, yeah, I agree. Rookie football camp, things of that nature. But I know who probably ain't having a tough week, and he's on the phone with us right now. We appreciate that, G, for your extra credit. But my man, from Eyeball Radio, you can follow him at Eyeball Radio. My guy, SRT resident, long distance man, Real Talk Tees, just got so many different names. He's on the phone with us now. D Will, the coach. What up, D?
What's happening, crew?
What's up, folks?
You see, I'm trying to keep up with your resume. It's getting kind of thick there, bro.
It's getting a little long now, yeah, H.O. You know what I'm saying? It's getting a little long, baby.
Hey, man, I done probably left something out and all this other kind of stuff, but glad you're with us, man, and I already know you're having a great week. I do want to get your thoughts on the NBA draft, and did it send a message?
Some of the lottery?
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess that's
it. It sent a message of being irrelevant. Yeah. If that's what you want to talk about, yeah, that man, that was a spectacle last night of irrelevancy. It was unimportant. It was exciting, but I have no idea why they had all them draft picks there. Was last night the actual draft? I'm confused.
Right.
Because they should have just went ahead and picked last night. Everybody was there in suits.
Yeah.
So we got to see it again, but yeah, man, it was worthless in my opinion. But the thing is, the new system, and I heard what my main man, Sixth Man of the Year, said that it was with everybody getting a fair chance, and I agree with G. They still gonna tank. You just now it's just a race to the bottom three. Like it don't matter, and a lot of teams don't have an option to tank or not because they suck anyway. So they're going to be sorry. So they're going to be at the bottom. So what's the point of winning? You might as well try to get the best odds to get the number one pick, which is still in play, even though they've evened them out some.
Yeah, I agree with that. Let's jump into some of this NBA playoff, which I already know you love. The Bucks Raptors series, and they I think it's going down tonight around 8:30. The Bucks have home court advantage. Just want to get your breakdown on that series and how you think it's going to kind of pan out.
Snorfest, who cares? No, like I'm just gonna be serious. Like I like Toronto in the series. I really believe Kawhi has stepped up to be the type of player that can lead a franchise to a championship. And he's actually showing that. G said some blasphemy earlier by mentioning Kawhi's name in the same sentence with the Mamba. But I understand that's the narrative that's going around right now. Everybody wants to compare him. And he's more, ever since Max Kellerman on the Four Letter Network made that, he's the new Skip Bayless, just say stuff for a reaction. But I really like Kawhi, and I believe that Greek Freak, Antetokounmpo, unless he is able to score outside the paint, even though I know how dominant he is inside the paint, I really believe he's going to struggle to carry a franchise to a championship. Now, if his, I do trust the others, the Pips. I trust his Pips more than I trust Kawhi's Pips because I believe Kyle Lowry is trash. I don't see how he continues to make the All-Star team every year. He is not a top 10 point guard in the league. I don't know. He's fat. He out of shape. I just don't like him, okay? So I'm just going to keep it real. If I had to put my money on somebody, it's on Kawhi, because I believe Kawhi can do everything that Antetokounmpo can do plus more. So I'm going to go with the Raptors in that series.
All right, before I get to the next question, I'm going to give you a little tidbit so you can post this on your social media. Making the All-Star team doesn't make you an All-Star player.
Ooh, boy, preach. Where will you get that from?
I'm just saying, I mean, Kyle Lowry created this.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. I mean, when they say he made the All-Star team, they really say he ain't no All-Star player. We just didn't have another choice.
Oh, boy, you fine. Hey, man, hey, you mind if I steal that? I can take that, right?
I just told you. I'm going to give it to you. You can go ahead and get that. You got it.
I'm going to give you your credit for it, but, boy, that is a jewel. Oh, man. That's a gem.
Oh, yeah, you know how we do it at Sports Roundtable, baby. We always in the lab trying to crank up something, baby. You know what I'm saying?
So, yes, sir. I love that one, though, because he's definitely not an All-Star player. He's made, what, 3 or 4 straight All-Star teams, and he is by far the worst playoff performer in the NBA. And to be an All-Star, he has to be effective in the playoffs. And we kept blaming DeMar DeRozan for the past fails of the Toronto Raptors. And we see Kyle Lowry did the same thing. If it wasn't for Kawhi Leonard, they'd be at home right now.
Exactly.
I'm so sick of this little short fat dude, man. I do not like Kyle Lowry. I don't care. Hey, listen, y'all can call and tell him. I interview him, and to his face, I tell him, dude, I don't like you. You suck.
Yeah, that's tough. All right, so will anybody beat Golden State?
Golden State?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, nope. It's not even going to be close. Like, this series against, I'm going to tell you, I think Damian Lillard can get hot one game and win one in Portland. So I will give him that much. So it will be 4-1. I don't see them winning more than one game. They're definitely not going to win one in Oracle. Because it's something going on in Oracle right now that people are failing to realize. Just because the Golden State Warriors are so good and they're expected to win, if you believe this or not, Golden State has an extra incentive to win. And y'all bet y'all saying, like, what the hell D talking about? Mm-hmm. This is their last year in Oakland. This is their last year in Oracle Arena. True enough, they're just moving 10 miles up the road to San Francisco, still in the Bay. However, that team has been Oakland for so long. So they want to bring another championship to Oakland for those fans to win in that building one more time. Because when you're as good as the Golden State Warriors, you got to find something to play for. Mm. Like, Steph Curry came out and hit you for 33 in the second half because y'all was going off on his wife. He needed something to play for. You know, so it's all... great players. You know how great players, they always say, oh, I got up for that one. Y'all boys jumped, start sending all them eggplant emojis to his wife. He got mad. So he went out there and scorched them. So you got to understand, they're playing for Oracle Arena. They're playing for Oakland. They're playing for the Bay Area. So they're going to win this outright. It's going to be easy. It's going to be a cakewalk. I don't care who comes out of the East, either Milwaukee or Toronto, which I said I have Toronto. I don't see either one of those teams winning more than 2 games, if they can even get 2. Whether Kevin Durant gets healthy or not, Golden State is a cakewalk to the championship.
So, should Kevin Durant even play this series? Do you think they need him?
I wouldn't play if I was him. I don't, because we definitely know they don't need him, G. Like, that's been shown they don't need him. However, what is the point of risking further injury? Now, I can understand, you know how it's a lot of injuries out there that they say, like a meniscus. Oh, if he plays on it's just about his pain tolerance, he can't hurt it anymore. I'm still under the disbelief that it's a calf injury that Kevin Durant is dealing with. Like, from the looks of that injury, we've seen that type of reaction on injuries. And every single time we've seen that type of injury, what has it been? It's been an Achilles. So, and even when Kevin Durant hopped off, he instantly grabbed way below his calf muscle. So they're calling it a calf strain. I don't know if they're doing that for the sake of Kevin Durant, but however, if he comes back this series, it'll be null and void. So, of course, G, I think he should sit out this series. They'll still win it 4-1, and he should come back in the finals if possible.
All right, I got a going away question for you, D. Will, and I always go into the lab and pull up some. So get ready for this one. With Kevin Durant being out in the way that Golden State is playing now, with all the hype that was going on while Kevin Durant was playing, many people saying he was the best player on the planet at this particular point. He's finally got to his peak, and he's actually doing his thing. So with the way the Golden State is playing without Kevin Durant, does it make Steph, Klay, and Draymond value go up? And does it make Kevin Durant's value of what he means to the team go down?
I don't think it's any detriment towards Kevin Durant. Because as he said in the Clipper series, y'all know who I am. I'm Kevin Durant. He can do what he's doing anywhere in the league. Well, not the league, anywhere in the world. He can come out here in my backyard and shoot on my little goal and do what he's doing. Okay? So when people question Kevin Durant's value because he went to Golden State, it baffles me. Because we know who that dude is. That dude could do that anywhere. Now, the caveat to that, he hadn't been able to win prior to getting there. Now, with him being in Golden State and him getting there, I believe that helps him where he knows how to win now. So wherever he decides to go next year, you better believe that team is a contender regardless of what they have on the floor with him, because he's learned how to win. Now, the one person, Klay and Steph, that's a wash. I really believe this boosted Draymond Green's stock. We know he's coming up on free agency. We know he's looking for the money. He's looking for a big contract. He can easily sit there and say, hey, I had to take the fourth seat on the team. That's why my numbers decreased. That's why my play decreased. And as soon as Kevin Durant goes out, he's looking like the all-star Draymond Green that we have become used to. So, if anything, it raised his stock through the roof. So, if he decides to leave Golden State, somebody is going to vastly overpay for Draymond Green, and he's not going to be what he was in Golden State with all those weapons around him.
Boy, you broke that thing all the way down. That's why I like you, D. Will.
But I got something. I want to argue with Hancock on.
Come on, get it.
Yeah, I really know. We got 2 minutes, so go ahead.
Ooh, I got two. That's plenty. Y'all know I learned how to use time very wisely here in the last couple months. But, man, Hancock, how dare you talk bad about our Lakers like that? You got to have faith, my brother. What is you thinking?
What'd you want me to say, D?
You like Frank Vogel, D?
I said that they're going to be competitive because of LeBron, and he wants to solidify his legacy. He's not going to throw in the towel. He's still going to get that. Look, look who's in the finals of the Western Conference, the Portland Trail Blazers. So the Lakers can easily get there and be in contention. I'm just talking about being dominant and being able to get players. And the Lakers, like I said, it's a power struggle between not wanting him to be the end all of that franchise. Genie is not going
to
let
him
happen.
And I agree with that. I see where you're coming from. However, they don't want to turn it over to LeBron and say this is LeBron's team.
Exactly.
But at some point, man, somebody in that organization has to get out of their own way, because somebody is blocking. She's getting bad information from somewhere. And this is not my quote.
Correct.
I heard it somewhere, and I totally agree that Jenny Buss is turning back into the Jim Buss era. It's no better there now than it was then, and they got rid of him. So what does that say about her?
Right, but she knows, like, if you're holding all the cards, she knows she still got the big joker sitting there, or he might be the little joker if you want to consider Kevin Durant the big joker. So even with the players he got and what he's got around him, he's going to make them viable. So she's still in a win-win situation. She knows she's going to – the Lakers going to draw anyway. No matter what the Clippers do, the Lakers are still going to be the team in L.A. So she got that in her back pocket. And she got LeBron. So she just want to get through these 3 years. Yeah. She gonna continue to run this franchise the way it's a family run business, and she gonna continue
into the ground. Hey, say it into the ground.
Well, what if he gets them to the playoffs and they make a run? See, it's still gonna be there.
Well, let me let y'all think about this. And D Will, the 2 minutes is up, but I do want to tell y'all to think about this. With the NBA draft, it seems like the NBA could be on LeBron's side, right? Think about it.
Yeah.
The smallest market, TV markets, gets the first pick. The Pelicans, who already has a franchise player who LeBron wanted, not sure if the Lakers wanted him, but now who's the GM for the Pelicans?
David Griffin.
Who used to be the GM for?
LeBron James.
So LeBron James and David Griffin has a relationship, correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Now that you do have the fourth pick, the Lakers, I might be a little interested because David Griffin is trying to make a ploy and make a statement.
And I see what you're saying.
You see what I'm saying? I'm just throwing it out.
He got to convince Ms. Bennett. And he got to convince Alvin Gentry because Alvin Gentry said – the Lakers tore up his team.
It's a little easier to convince him when you got the man child coming.
Yeah. Well, the only thing about that is you had Anthony Davis there and was supposed to turn the franchise around. Man child by himself gonna do it?
No, you go get some pigs. Yeah,
New Orleans still gonna be New Orleans.
Well, and
thank you, Hans. New Orleans ain't finna win nothing. Exactly. I don't care if they got AD, Zion, and everybody else. They gonna be New Orleans. They gonna always think. They gonna always be small market and never make noise in the West.
One rainstorm away from trying to get out of New Orleans again.
Oh my God. D-Way, we got to end it on that, but you and Hancock get together, but it is never coming. Hey, man, we appreciate you calling in, but before you leave, please give everybody your social media info.
All right, man, I'm going to have to run this down real quick, man. I had fun. Appreciate y'all having me on. Y'all can follow me on Instagram at Eyeball Radio. That's the letter I-B-A-L-L Radio. Find out all my interviews, all exclusive content. Also, you can get your merch, Eyeball merch. You can get your Real Talk Tees merch at _RealTalkTees. Follow me on Twitter at Coach_SRT. And, of course, on Facebook, Eyeball Radio, Coach's Corner, and Derek Williams. Holla at me.
My man. Appreciate it, D-Wheel.
All
right.
All right, fellas. Later.
Later. There he is, man. Like to have fun with Weezy, man. But some good thoughts, though. Some good thoughts.
Yeah.
Some conspiracy theories that you can kind of run through.
I thought he was going to say that David Griffin has something on the commissioner to get the number one pick.
Yeah.
I just don't think New Orleans is going to do L.A. any favors. It's going to have to be a real sweet deal. Look, they tried to give him the whole team last year. So you're going to give him a whole team and the four pick, which is what? What is that four pick this year? Because the top three are the ones, right?
Jared Culver.
So if they're not excited about those, what is that going to do?
Yeah.
Some people saying Darius Garland from Vanderbilt, and
he didn't play.
Maybe Cam Reddish.
Nah, it's too high for him. DeAndre Hunter, maybe. But anyway, we got to get to the second half of the show. So, y'all keep it locked. We got what we got coming up next? Oh, some other news, vibing with TV. Maybe we'll get some out tonight, Vibe TV or something. But keep it locked. It's Austin Riley Day for the Atlanta Braves. So, we're going to come back with some more of that. So, keep it locked. You listen to Sports Roundtable with the SRT crew on the Real 1100, srtradio.com.
Keep those ears locked to Sports Roundtable on the Real 1100 AM.
You are tuned into WWE Peakville, AM 1100.
The opinions expressed during the sponsored programs on this station are strictly those of the program hosts, guests, and callers and are not necessarily those of Beasley Broadcast Group, this station, its staff, other advertisers, or agencies.
What's up? This your man, D-Will the Coach, here on behalf of Real Talk Tees. Real Talk Tees is for the players, geniuses, and bosses. For those who hustle, for the fresh, and for the iconic. Real Talk Tees is urban, affordable, vintage t-shirts to help you express yourself. So visit realtalktees.bigcartel.com to order yours today. So how about this? You got a specific mood in mind? Custom orders are available also to help you and yours stand out. So visit realtalktees.bigcartel.com, where what's real lasts forever.
Listen up, sports fans and TV watchers. SRT and Vibe TV have joined forces to bring you the best TV watching experience ever. When you subscribe to the Vibe TV app, you're going to get over 340 U.S. TV stations, including HBO, Stars, AMC, ESPN, Hallmark, foreign channels, music channels, and all of your local major city networks. Best of all, sports fans, Vibe TV is keeping you up to date with all the scores and more from tennis, golf, soccer, rugby, UFC, football, basketball, baseball, hockey, and more. And last but not least, live pay-per-view events at no extra cost. Never miss another game or match ever. If you want it, we got it. One app, one price, $15 a month, and never pay for extra add-ons. And here's a bonus for all these Sports Roundtable tenants. Visit VibeTVApp.com and use the promo code SRT for a 20% discount on all Vibe TV packages. So come on and subscribe to Vibe TV and stay connected to Sports Roundtable, because they know sports.
Sports Roundtable.
Now, David, it's like this. Either you going to straighten up or we letting you go.
Blue, you all right with that?
I'll miss you. But not if you're hurting the group.
Hurting the group? I'm the best thing that ever happened to this damn group.
Nobody's bigger than the group.
Y'all ain't stupid. I'm the one selling the records. They coming to see me.
They coming to see the Temptations.
Ain't nobody coming to see you, Otis. You wish you could work it the way I do. But you can't, because there is only one David Ruffin. And without him, the Temps ain't nothing but a group in search of a David Ruffin.
Only on WWE. The Real 1100 AM.
You're begging me not to leave you, and I refuse to let you go.
Uh-oh, Brazy.
Yeah.
Looks like they back for a fifth season, man.
Who that?
Sports Roundtable.
Who?
S-R-T.
Yeah.
Crew.
Whoa.
S-R-S-R-S-R-S-R-T. Yeah. They got that realness flowing in they DNA. Damn you lame if you ain't tuned to SRT today. H-O got that payload when he say so. What you betting on? Okay. Don't get mad at me on fantasy. Break up Kyrie LeBron.
Oh, no.
I be smooth as sports superhero Hancock in the mix. Deal with roll tie forever. Real talk, you know who he gon' pick. See where I be with SRT. Behind the glass, that G-Money. Man with a strong, I never lose. Six man elite, that's Jay Smooth.
All you other sports radio shows, it's fake news. Believe it. Turn up your radios, cause it's time for SRT Radio.
Yeah.
What up, what up, what up? It's Sports Roundtable. Thanks for tuning in to the first hour of the show. We're here in our second hour of the show. We had Mr. D. Will, the coach, calling in, getting some off his chest. We also talked about the NBA draft order, how it, the results of that. Also, the new Lakers coach and how that seems to be a little underhanded. And we had some G's extra credit when now the, you know, G, I think the Kentucky Derby is just trying to stay in the news.
To see what the NFL and the NBA are doing.
Exactly. I mean, because this is unprecedented for what they are actually doing to stay in the news. So it's crazy. They suspend the jockey, but then the owner want to sue the Kentucky Derby Association to try to get the call overturned again. Boy, I tell you. Anyway. In some other news, Austin Riley Day for the Atlanta Braves. If you didn't know, the number one prospect for the Atlanta Braves, Austin Riley, was in Gwinnett, just some miles away from Atlanta, plus traffic, playing with the Gwinnett Stripers. And as he was playing with the Stripers, listen to these numbers. Batting .299 for the season, 15 home runs, 39 RBIs. He had a grand slam last night. Over the last 14 games, he's hit 10 home runs.
So what happens with Josh Donaldson?
Donaldson stays at third. NCRT went out with back stiffness. They have moved Austin Riley to left field because over the last 2 weeks he's been playing left field in Gwinnett because they figure we have to figure out a way to get him up to the major leagues. And I can't pay a $23 million guy to sit on the bench. So I'd rather NCRT, if you get hurt for $6 million, go sit down. We'll bring Austin Riley up. And it also makes NCRT expendable.
Probably played his last game with the Braves.
So that's what that is. And the numbers are so impressive. If he was on the Braves team right now, he would be leading the team in RBIs and home runs. Acuna has 8 home runs to lead the team. And I think Dansby had 26 RBIs to lead the team. So Austin Riley, and he struck out his first time at bat tonight. So hopefully we will get some good hope that juice continues to flow with the kid. He's 22 years old from Memphis, Tennessee.
There you go.
So Memphis is all over the place now.
Yeah.
Also in other news, the New York Jets fired their GM and has made Adam Gase the interim GM.
So does what's the kid's name from Alabama?
Quinnen Williams.
Yeah, does he get a press conference? No.
Only Gase can have a press conference, so there'll be a press conference to announce that he is the interim GM.
Yeah, they said it's a backstory to why this happened was because Gase did not want Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, I've read that as well.
And this is kind of a power struggle that went on. And now, you know, to me, I mean, this is one of those things where I said, you're closing the barn door after the horse is gone. Le'Veon Bell already got the money. He's already there. So, you know, to remove the guy for his GM right now and put Gase in charge, you should have done this before when Gase didn't want this move to be made. So, in that, how does Le'Veon feel now that this is kind of in the atmosphere that your head coach, who's supposed to be able to use you, you know, and use you the way you're supposed to be used and you would want to be used, how is that going to affect the chemistry of the team?
There should have been someone that said that Adam Gase doesn't have the cachet to say something like that.
Right.
To where you can't use a Le'Veon Bell. We saw what you did in Miami. Well, we saw what you didn't do. Right. And the reason why you got that job in Miami is because you were the offensive coordinator for Peyton Manning, which doesn't say a whole lot.
Yeah. Just look good on your LinkedIn account.
There you go.
But
just like Frank Vogel.
Exactly.
And you know, it kind of stems from, you know, Le'Veon didn't report for voluntary minicamp.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this is when Gase sits back and says, look, I'm trying to change the culture. I told you this was going to happen. You wanted to sign him. I'm trying to do something, and you kind of undermined me. And then they end up firing the GM.
Why is that still a story? Like, as far as, like, someone didn't show up.
Yep.
Voluntary. Weird. It's voluntary.
I know.
And then the coach gets mad. It doesn't make any
but
sense.
But it's that I told you so moment. See, that's what he's using. I told you he was going to be like this.
Right.
I told you he wouldn't show up to something he didn't have to show up to.
Right. That's crazy. Also, fellas, last story on the docket for other news. There's been a report, story floating around that Brett Brown will keep his job in Philly, but Elton Brand will try to trade Ben Simmons for LeBron James and some other assets, things of that nature. And how would this look if this deal goes through as far as legacy for LeBron, and what does this do for Philly if they're able to keep Embiid, get LeBron, maybe keep Redick and Butler?
I don't think you'll keep Redick and Butler probably can stay. But I thought you were saying Tobias Harris. He'd be out.
Can they afford that?
Who? I don't think Tobias can stay.
I don't think they can afford Butler, because I think he's going to get a max contract.
Yeah, but you'll be moving. See, I think you remember Ben is still on his rookie deal, so they're not paying him any money. You pay probably three people. So I think they could probably get that.
Because Redick ain't giving 12 million. Yeah, so
or you might have to ship Redick, one or the other. He might
be a free agent, though.
Yeah, he might be. He might not be able to keep him around. But I think it would definitely help Philly. But the problem you have is still you're going to look at Joel and say, can you stay healthy? That's the biggest issue with him. When he was on the court in this series, they were head and shoulders, you know, a better basketball team. But off the floor, they got outscored by 118 some odd points. So that shows you his value. But if you got LeBron in there with him, I think that automatically makes them one of the top teams in the East. But the Simmons going to L.A., you definitely have to restructure because now you have two people that can't shoot from the perimeter. So that would be Hill. Ball would have to, you know, Ball would have to go if you're bringing Simmons in. So I can't even see that. Maybe a three-team deal to where you send Simmons somewhere else, or something like that. But he and Lonzo, if Lonzo is your future, he can't be there on that team with him.
Might be looking for, if something like that were to happen, or it might happen even if a Simmons for LeBron trade doesn't happen, the Bulls may be making a move to get Lonzo Ball.
That's another way to, you know, do something else then.
So they done with Dunn?
Yeah, they were done with Dunn a long time ago.
He was doing well till he, if you looked at his numbers, he was coming on. And he had that injury where he was, I think he went up for a dunk and missed the rim some kind of way, hung on the rim and came down and, like, knocked out a couple of his teeth and all that. And ever since then, he went the other way. So I thought he was going to be a decent pro, but it didn't materialize. And after that, he hadn't lived up to it.
That's crazy. Jay, you got something to say on the rumor about LeBron and Simmons?
Yeah, if you're Elton Brand and the Sixers organization, if you believe that LeBron has enough left in the tank, it might be worth a shot because I'm not completely sold on Ben Simmons. There's a lot of questions about his work ethic. His brief period in the league, I've yet to see any progress. You know, the lack of a jumper, as Hancock pointed out, that continues to be a concern. And in a league where that's a required skill, it's mandatory that you have
you got to put the ball in the basket.
Yeah, and he just can't do that. And the concerns about his work ethic, it makes it a bit easier to trade him. And I think if you're Philly, if you have a chance to win now, which is what LeBron James and Joel Embiid, if healthy and in shape, I think they could possibly give you that. And, you know, if you can make it work financially, why not?
Yeah. So you don't see them investing in a shrink for Ben Simmons? It's mental. It's all mental as to why he won't shoot jumper.
You know what, I think it's more of the Michael Vick syndrome of that. When you are the biggest and baddest on the court and you've always been able to get where you want and score, you know, relatively easy, do the things, you're just a better athlete than everybody else, and it's gotten you to this point, it's hard to change and to make yourself into something else. You can see him on the break. I've never seen anybody lead a break, get in the lane, and turn his back to the basket to make passes.
I think it would be, I understand where you're going with the Vic comparison, but it would be like, if Vic came to the NFL and he was afraid to throw the ball as a quarterback.
Billy ran all the time.
He just ran all the time.
I feel you. Yeah, I'm stretching a little bit, but I understand. Yeah, you're right. But what I'm saying is just that when you're the best athlete, it's hard to go against what you've always done to be successful. And then if you look at it, he's been in the playoffs 2 years. It's a lot of rookies that have come up in this league and not made it to the playoffs in 2 years.
Yeah.
In their first 2 years. So I think we grade a lot of times very harshly when you compare. If you compare what he's done in the league to a lot of people that have come into the league, he's way ahead.
He is.
But you look at him as being a transcendent type talent and you expect more.
And the thing about it, just to add to your point, It creates an expectation for him that sets high because you do have made the playoffs, but at the same time, the most fundamental thing that is the most important thing in the NBA, you are afraid to do it.
Yeah.
So that one thing compared to the 12 that you can do, it kind of evens out, or this has more clout because this is what the NBA is about. these other things, I can, you know, those are intangible things. Okay, you bigger than everybody, so you can pass.
But it also would have, if that shot rolls off the rim, or if they make plays down the line, three straight possessions, and eke out that, he's in the conference finals. So it's so, you know, it's so minute on how you can be looked at.
Oh, there ain't no doubt.
And it's just, he's going to be vilified because, frankly, a lot of people just don't like his demeanor. And that's just true of what it is. When you rub a certain group a certain way, you're going to get that stigma. And you have to overcome it. And if he doesn't conform and do some of the things, he's going to always have that stigma. Whether he, you know, and then he's going to have to win the big one or he'll get that title like Barkley and all these people that were so great and never won.
One quick question. Him coming into the league, his, I'm not calling him LeBron James, but I think the closest pro comparison was LeBron James, the physical attributes. Mm-hmm. How is it that, and I get LeBron James as a, you know, maybe no less than the top five player of all time, a transcendent talent. How was he able to sort of continue to develop his game, whereas Ben Simmons says he sort of faltered in a sense? I mean, there's been no growth. There's a certain hunger that's lacking in him. What
it is?
Yeah, I mean, what's the difference?
One of them got Savannah and one of them got Kardashian.
Oh, man.
Okay, there it is.
So, I mean, just to be real, it's all about being grounded and with the right situation.
Being grounded, yeah.
You want, LeBron knew that he had a lot of things he wanted to accomplish, right?
Right.
And basketball was going to get him those things. I don't think Ben Simmons understands that basketball should be right now the center of the thing to make everything right.
Yeah.
And everything else should play off of it. Don't worry about trying to find out where Kendall Jenner is or being in the clubs and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
It's prioritized. Mm. And he should be shooting thousands of shots this summer to expand his game.
There it is. Well, I guess we done ran out of talk because the music just went out. So I guess we got to get to a commercial. And before we end this segment, Other News is sponsored by Vibe TV. If you're looking for the best online TV streaming service, go to ViveTVapp.com. Anybody online on the chat who are looking for 3-day trial, just throw your hands up and say me, and I'll get your information, and I'll get you a 3-day trial for Vibe TV, and we'll go from there. I guarantee you will not be disappointed. $15 a month, ViveAppTV.com, and you can go to the website for more information. When we get back, you already know our roundtable discussion, NBA Talk. You listen to Sports Roundtable with the SRT crew on the Real 1100, SRTRadio.com.
Are you thinking about changing the station? You're only hurting yourself. Keep listening to Sports Roundtable on 1100 AM. The work never stops at Bo Bell Basketball Academy. Or more specifically, the feet work never stops at Bo Bell Basketball Academy. For boys and girls ages 6 and up, Atlanta's own Bo Bell has played and coached basketball all around the world and is here to share his philosophies. Specifically, how footwork is the foundation to be a complete basketball player. Visit CoachBoBell.com for details about upcoming camps or call 770-912-4104 for more information. Bo Bell Basketball Academy, where footwork is key.
Sports Roundtable.
I'm a fun guy. Obviously, I love the game of basketball. I mean, it's just more question you have to ask me in order for me to tell you about myself. I just can't give you a whole spiel. I don't even know where you're sitting at.
Only on WWE, The Real 1100 AM.
The Roundtable Discussion.
What are we talking about?
Hit it!
Sports Roundtable back at you. H.O. Sports Superhero, Jay Smooth, Cheap Money Behind the Glass. That is the SRT crew. We're back at you. It's time for the Roundtable Discussion, sponsored by our good old friend Bo Bell. Bo Bell was in studio with us last week.
Had I missed
in
out,
your
man.
Seat, baby. Had something for you and everything. So he'll bring you something back. So
there you go.
He was bearing gifts, and Bo Bell came in here.
Y'all didn't hold it for me?
Well, we couldn't answer the questions that he was asking.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, he was just trying to assure himself a way to get back. But I told him, you always got an open invitation. Bo Bell South is open. Go to CoachBoBell.com for more information. So now there is a Bo Bell South, and then there's a downtown version. So any of the kids looking for an AAU team, Bo Bell is the place to be. Team Bo Bell. You can follow at Team Bo Bell on social media as well. Shout out to my homeboy Marlon. He's always rocking with your boy. We always have conversations throughout the week. And we was talking about the draft last night, man. And I tell you, you know, we can go back and forth about all these other kind of things. But we go jump into this roundtable discussion with the playoffs. And the kind of a breakdown of the playoffs real quick. We see Kevin Durant go out. Boogie didn't even, well, he kind of went out early. And then the Golden State reverts back to the Golden State before Kevin Durant, where Draymond becomes a little more of a playmaker. They kind of rely more on the bench with Livingston, Looney, Quinn Cook. And my other guy, 28.
McKinney.
Yeah, he's about it, but so
yeah, athletic.
Yeah, yeah. And so now Portland pulls out for a road victory in the playoffs. CJ McCollum having a great game. Then as I mentioned before, the backcourt has to wash each other out. And then you look at which bench is going to show up. You know, which coach is going to adjust. So to break this series down here, I'm going to start with you and some of your thoughts. We already had game one. It was a blowout. The Portland backcourt was outscored 62-38.
Something like that.
Something if I'm close. Yeah. If I'm not at Zach, yeah. I'm kind of close. The backcourt can't afford to not watch for Portland.
Right.
They just can't. They don't have the wings to give them.
They don't have the squad. Let's just be real. Look, when we looked at this playoff series, coming into the playoffs.
Right.
When you looked at Portland and Golden State, KD already told you, look, man, y'all didn't have a chance anyway. He told him that. He told CJ that to his face on CJ's podcast. He really didn't think y'all were going to win, right? So that lets you know the level of disrespect that he and the Warriors have for Portland. And it shows Dame and CJ are a nice backcourt, but I've been saying for years they need to break that up. And this is the reason that, you know, people look at Steph as being small. But if you watch the game, whenever he and Dame stand beside each other, Steph got 2 inches on Dame. And then you got Klay, who is 6'7". He has 2 or 3 inches on McCallum. So you got a bigger backcourt that's going against them. Plus Iguodala switches off on Dame. And you'll see Dame struggles when he gets inside with the length. And they've deflected his passes. I think he's hurting a little bit with the hamstring, so I will give him that. So that, you know, if he doesn't have his explosion, how's he going to get around all that length? Because when he gets switched out on either it's Klay or Iguodala, or even we talked about McKinney, it's just hard for him to finish over them. And if the jumper's not falling, he's got a problem. CJ the same way. Klay blocked his shot at least twice last night, playing him head up. So that's the thing I'm saying about they're a smaller backcourt. You don't have the wings to contend. You don't have any size in the middle. And you can see Golden State had a lack of respect playing them last night. They were throwing the ball away behind their back. Steph just, you know, we talk about now the free will and style, and that's the way they play with all this space and movement, and there's no grabbing of Steph and Klay off of picks and screens. They're free-flowing and running. They're playing like they're playing in the regular season now.
Right.
You know, playoff basketball is a lot of clutching. And now Steph is looking around like, you mean tell me I got free reign to run and come off a screen and you have not a free jumper, but you got practice jumpers. He's got practice jumpers in-game. So he's got free shots to the rim. Klay missed at least 4 wide open shots last night. So with that, man, I just don't see, to be honest with you, I could see it being a sweep. I will give Portland a chance to maybe get one at home.
Yeah.
But it could possibly be a sweep. I think the only caveat I give about last night was that Portland came off a big mentally taxing game against Denver. So you could see that they just didn't have any life in their legs. It looked like the mental fatigue of that game was still there. So I think they had a little hangover. But I just don't see them being able to contend with Golden State.
Smooth.
Yeah, I completely agree. If the Portland Trailblazers had one chance, in my opinion, one chance only, the best time to steal a game from a team is game one. They had an opportunity to do it, and they didn't. You come out and you get absolutely drugged by 22 points. And this is, you know, a team who are great without Kevin Durant, but without a Kevin Durant, this is a team that you should probably come in a bit more hyped, a bit more amped to play for. And there probably was some hangover from that Denver series, but you're not going to win shooting 36% from the field. You shoot 7 of 28 from 3 if you're Portland Trailblazers. So that 25%, that's not going to get it done. You out-rebound Golden State, which is good, but you also had 21 turnovers. So you're not,
beautiful.
Yeah, you're turning the ball over, and on top of that, you're not shooting well. And also, fast break points. I think in this series, if you're C.J. McCollum, Damian Lillard, anyone who plays for the Portland Trailblazers, you have to find the easiest way possible to get buckets. And getting out in fast break is one way to do that.
Right.
So, overall, I'm not exactly sure what to make of Portland in this series. I think Damian Lillard and C.J. McCollum are good enough to get them at least one game. But Golden State, they've seemed to settle into a groove. And, you know, having Kevin Durant may have been the best thing that could have happened to him. And I don't expect to see Kevin Durant in this series. And why should we? They don't appear to need him. I agree with you, Hancock. This probably should be a sweep. I would like to see them win one game. But, yeah, we might as well move on to Milwaukee.
It's going to be hard, man. It's going to be hard.
All right, G.
I think Portland might win a game. I feel like it's one of those series to where Portland will win game three at home and the Warriors will just come back and win it in five. Just because they'll get another home game, they'll make another $10 to $15 million off of that game.
Yeah.
So having more home games is for the cash is more advantageous for Golden State. But looking at the issue that Portland has had, it's the issue they had last year, big time, and they still kind of they got away with it this year, is their front court. They just don't have the horses or the cows or the goats or anything as far as a forward. Their best forward is Enes Kanter, who we saw Billy Donovan famously say can't play Kanter.
Right.
He can't be playing starters minutes, and he played 30 minutes. He'll give you points and rebounds.
Offensive rebounds. Is that...
That's all he does. He didn't learn anything else while learning to play basketball. He learned to score inside because he was tall and to get rebounds. But he's not a rim protector. He is famously not known for his defense. And Mo Harkless and Al-Farouq Aminu, I mean, I know Bo coached Al-Farouq Aminu, but I don't think he's going to be a factor in this series.
Right.
You'll be seeing Rodney Hood getting more minutes. And I think the front court for Golden State is a lot stronger, even though, you know, Bogut only played a few minutes. But Draymond Green and Looney and McKinney, they are more versatile and they're more committed defensively than what Portland's going to give you.
So I got to ask this question, and let's start with you. How bad of a loss is Nurkic in this series for Portland?
He's a bad loss because he does at least give you some rim protection, and he probably is a guy you probably could throw it in and get a bucket every now and then. So in that respect, yes, but what would have happened with that? When they go to the Hampton 5 lineup, they would have pulled him away from the rim and put him in pick and roll, and he would have been exploited in that way. So, you know, I always tell you, the thing about Golden State is they're like the perfect disease. You want us to play big, we can play big. You want us to play small, we can play small. You know, the thing about it is they have playmakers on the court at all times. So when they get you in pick and roll, Iguodala can make a play, they can score, get the pass to somebody to score. They're famous with the hockey assist, meaning they know how to go somewhere else with the ball. They'll turn down a good shot for a great shot. Right. So Nurkic would have been caught in the crossfire, I think, eventually, and they'd have had to pull him out of the game because he couldn't have played in space.
Yeah, I guess Nurkic gives them another option on offense because they just too perimeter right now. Mm-hmm. And as long as Clay is, and when Livingston comes in, he's long. Mm-hmm. You know, it bothers the guys because you have no alternate way to score because your wings are not really giving you anything. Evan Turner is not a shooter. He can bring the ball up and initiate the offense, but that's pretty much all you got. Yeah. So it's just a bad
that
catch.
That small backcourt is going to have trouble
It's a small
series,
backcourt, and that's what the problem is. All right, shifting over to the East. Milwaukee versus Toronto. Kawhi, the Greek Freak, and their supporting cast. It looks like Milwaukee supporting cast was a little more valuable than Toronto's supporting cast in the last series. And Brogdon is back. Mm-hmm. So you add Brogdon back along with the confidence of a Middleton and the rest of the guys for Milwaukee. How do you see this game, Smooth? We'll start with you first. How do you see this series? My main man, Mike Mitchell, he on Facebook say the Bucks in five. Wow.
Mm. Yeah, I think for Toronto, it sort of presents a sort of change of pace. If you look at the first couple series against the Orlando Magic and the 76ers, you know, those teams were a bit more deliberate with what they wanted to do, meaning that they're going to come down in half court, they're going to get into their sets and, you know, probably run plays for certain players.
Right.
And if you're Milwaukee, they pretty much want to do one thing only. They want to get Giannis in space. And if Giannis doesn't have an opportunity to get where it is that he wants to go, he's going to kick it out to Chris Middleton, Eric Bledsoe, Mirotic, or whomever.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to fire threes. They play a lot more open style. And, you know, I love what Milwaukee has done. I think for the most part, they learned from their mistakes really well. I think that layoff sort of hurt them in that second round against Boston. And I think they've sort of learned their lesson from that last series. I expect them to come out tonight and play really well. But if you're Milwaukee, like I said, they've learned from what they do wrong in the past. Mike Budenholzer, I think he'll be key in this series. He's made a lot of great sort of in-game decisions, and not only in-game, but game-to-game. He's made a lot of great adjustments, and I think that will continue. I think Nick Nurse has done a pretty good job. One of the Wakandas will be out, as Hancock likes to call him,
right.
Anobi. He's not expected to play tonight. But if you're Toronto and you expect to win, Kawhi Leonard cannot shoot the ball 39 times. He has to get help from D-Will's favorite guy, Kyle Lowry. Guys like Marc Gasol, you need a big night out of him. Pascal Siakam. These guys, they can't be, as you guys said it earlier, they can't be scared to shoot this series because they're going to need all hands on deck.
All right, hold for a second, Hans. Look like we got a caller. Caller calling in. You calling into the SRT crew. What's your name? Where you calling from?
What's up, Forrest, man? It's David, CEO of Vibe TV. How
My
you doing, bro?
Man, David, CEO, president. All of that Vibe TV. What's going on, my man?
Not much, man. I'm just sitting here in the hospital room, dude. I had baby number 6 2 days ago.
Okay.
We're looking to go home tomorrow, so we're wrapping things up here.
Absolute. Congratulations. Congratulations, number 6. You got you a 6 man on your team, I see. Congratulations.
Yeah.
And congratulations to them boys out of South Carolina. Yeah. Looks like Zion and Ja Morant may be going 1-2. So
that's
shout out
Fruitly.
To the South Carolina guys.
Don't
so
sound
really
like they can shoot like you though.
Hey, no pun intended or pun directly intended.
I think you got that down, there, buddy.
Yeah, man. Hey, no, but listen, dude, I'm in good spirits, of course. So this is what I'm going to do okay. until the end of this month. So all the way until May 31st, I'm increasing the discount on all SRT sign-up customers. So if you use the promo code SRT, you don't just get 20% off the first month. You get 50% off your first package order. So
let me write this down.
If you order 1 year of one device, which is normally $150, you can get your first year for $75 right, if you man. Use that code right now. But you got until the end of the month, so about 2 weeks.
2 weeks, end of the month, my man. Listen, yes, man. Listen, I don't know if anybody, I don't know if I can even express the love that Vibe TV have shown me and the listeners for SRT and all the people that I even tell about. I had somebody just hit me up the other day. Man, my son loves Vibe TV. He can't wait to cut his cable. So I just felt like there was a good thing. I felt like, you know, I felt like I got a first round pick, you know, with Vibe yeah, TV. Man. So we really appreciate it, man. Again, SRT 50% off to the end of the month, so about 2 weeks. So anybody using that promo code, you get 50% off.
And yeah, I mean, go ahead and put this out there because you know football is right around the corner. So
exactly.
You get that Sunday ticket. You already got your baseball that's going on now, and your all the sports, everything is all on there. So football's right around the season. You can get your 1 year right now for $75, and that's like half the price of Sunday ticket just by itself, plus all the other stuff you get. So.
Yeah.
Sign up before the end of the month and already get your football locked in for the season. You're good to go. You know what I mean?
My man. We appreciate it, Dave. Appreciate it. Good looking out.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Let me get back to take care of these folks here.
There you go, man. Congratulations, man.
Congrats, man. We appreciate it again.
Thanks, guys. Y'all have a good one.
All right. There he is, man, the CEO. I don't know if y'all really realize, man.
I ain't understanding.
Yeah, I don't know if y'all really realize, man, that Vibe TV app, man. Let me go to this thing, man. And really, y'all slipping on this. He said 50% off, and all you got to use is the SRT discount promo code, ViTVApp.com. ViTVApp.com in the chat room and let them know what the website is. And then go to the website and subscribe. If you use SRT promo code, you get 50% off on whatever package you get off the rip. 50% off. As soon as you hit promo code and hit enter, you'll see the price jump down just like that, and you can just check out. So Hancock looked like he just kind of interrupted your flow about this series. But I'm going to see if we can get you back on track.
Yeah.
Kawhi versus the Greek and the supporting cast.
Has the potential to be a great matchup between two guys that are at least top five at least. Let's just put them in the top five. It might be higher than that, depending on who you are. But just to see who supporting cast will come up big is going to be it. Who's the Batman?
Yeah.
That's going to be big. So you kind of know what to expect from those two guys, but what can they get from the rest of the team? And I think that's going to be the swing on it, whoever can get that. And right now, looks like we've seen Milwaukee's cast come up bigger in the previous series.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what we're going to get out of Toronto. A lot of that depends on the point guard situation. D. Wills, man, you know, he doesn't like Lowry, but, you know, it really is going to be a lot of what he can do, you know, matched up against Bledsoe. So it's a lot of little underlying stories. You know, you got that baby dinosaur moniker, and also when you look at Milwaukee, you know, I said this earlier this year, I don't think they were getting respect being a good team because the name of their team is Milwaukee. And they have not been, and that's not really, I'm not trying to throw a shot.
Right.
But if you've been into basketball, pro basketball, the last 30 years?
Yeah.
They haven't really been, you know, relevant since Marcus Johnson, Sidney Moncrief. I'm calling names that people, they don't know. So now for them to be back in this thing and show that they're a legit basketball team, it's going to take some time before people really realize that they are a viable basketball team, not just, you know, another name in the NBA.
Hold tight, G. I got some breaking news. I think in our other news we talked about, what's my guy from Gwinnett, Austin Riley?
Mm-hmm.
Coming up, first game, we say it's Austin Riley Day. Well, he's homered in his first, or second at bat in his first game off Mr. Walker for St. Louis. So Braves up 2-0.
Memphis in the house.
And Mr. Austin Riley has already shown that he's a viable piece, which gets me going. I can get into my Braves fever of why did you sign Donaldson to $23 million anyway?
Well, they won't have to pay Riley for a long time.
But you could have used that money to get bullpen help, though.
Man, they got enough.
they got enough
money.
They just doesn't. They say it's more Brave players going from Gwinnett to Atlanta than anybody out here right now.
Wow.
They sending folks down, bringing folks up every twice, three times a week. It's crazy. But anyway, I just wanted to bring that breaking news to you guys to let you know that we are the home of the Atlanta Braves, and we will keep you updated. G, you wanted to talk about the series. You got it, my friend. And George Hill looking like he is playing out of his mind right now along with Bledsoe.
All right, well, what people have been seeing on Facebook Live is their matchup from January.
Yeah.
I'm not sure who won. I know the Bucks took 3 out of 4.
Mm-hmm.
The difference may be what kind of impact we'll see the real impact of getting Marc Gasol. what do they trade for him for? Is this the kind of matchup that it would be advantageous for them to have him being matched up against Brook Lopez, where he's just going to stand about 5 feet behind the 3-point line and shoot from there. But like everyone said, Kyle Lowry has to do something. He has to have an impact on this series.
Starting out, Will.
And the bench of for both teams, but especially Toronto, will be important. Like, will they go farther than just Van Vliet and Ibaka? Will we see will Jeremy Lin play it all? Or whoever else they got.
Yeah.
The bench is going to be important for both teams. And the Bucks have played without Brogdon so far. But Eric Bledsoe has been, I think he's been more inconsistent at best. So can Brogdon bring some kind of consistency to the point guard position, of course. Instead of Giannis just getting downhill. That's basically what it was against Boston, him getting downhill. Boston, they had an answer in game one, but it was a new test in games 2 through 5. I think it's going to go 7 games. And I think the home team wins every game.
Okay, cool. All right, so let's flip to this more of an interesting story. I guess the folks on Facebook Live, go ahead and chime in with this one. The most interesting offseason for the team. Who do you think will have one or will need one? Or who are you most looking forward to see what kind of offseason they'll have? And I'm going to throw some names out or some teams out. And if you want to add a team or two, go right ahead. But the Sixers, obviously because of the free agency of Redick, Tobias, and Jimmy Butler. The Lakers, we already talked about what kind of situation they're in. Golden State, don't know if KD is coming back. I think they got to either pay Draymond or Klay, one of them, at this particular point. Houston Rockets, the way that they just kind of folded in game 5 and 6 against Golden State without Kevin Durant. Those are some of the teams. Any other teams you may want to add, throw it in. But, Han, I'll start with you first. The most interesting offseason.
Man, that's going to be hard because there are a lot of stories, man, especially with how the Sixers might be retooling and reconstructed. Definitely the Lakers because of the LeBron power struggle with Jeannie Buss. You know, will they be able to get a free agent? You know, I heard today that the Kyrie thing is not really going to happen.
Right.
You know, that had been kind of rumored and bandied about that he was going to come back and rejoin with or join forces with LeBron, but that looks to be off the table. The Knicks situation, are they going to get the two big guys? Will they keep the pick? You know, who would they put with those guys if they do keep it? Will they use that to get another a big three? You know, the pick. Will they dangle it out there if they right. do get Kyrie and KD? You know, Golden State for sure, because the narrative now has been, you know, that, you know, they didn't need KD. And whether, you know, I don't know which side of the fence you're on, because it goes day to day. I was like, well, you know, you look at their bench, maybe KD, you know, reshaped them and whatever. But now with him out of the game, looks like their bench is stronger than people thought.
Right.
And you know, I think a lot of that has to do with the two guys that you're going to build around being Clay and Steph. They're going to create so much space that marginal bench guys become a little bit better because they play with those guys in the system they play in. So, yeah, I mean, there are a lot of different storylines, man, that we're going
to
see.
Which one are you looking forward to the most, then?
All of those.
All of those.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know me. I like NBA basketball better than college basketball. I've been in this season all year.
Right.
So I've been following a lot of these stories anyway. And also to see what Kawhi does. You know, does he put down roots with Toronto, or does he, you know, go to L.A.? Does he join forces with KD in New York? Man, it's just the NBA right now has the potential to be as interesting as the NFL has kept their, you know, kept themselves relevant all year round. So it's going to be good. It's going to be
smooth.
Good something.
Yeah, I just want to run off a list of at least the top 10 guys who are ranked among, I guess, free agents. So Hancock pointed out a lot of them. You got Kevin Durant, Kawhi Leonard, Kyrie Irving. And once you get past those, you know, those three big jokers, the big spades, you look at guys like Kemba Walker. What's going to happen with him? Could he team up with LeBron in L.A.? I think that might be interesting. Klay Thompson, I don't think he's leaving Golden State. I don't expect that to happen. But if Klay does decide to leave, where does he end up? That could be interesting. Jimmy Butler, he's another piece that could move. He has a player option.
Mm-hmm.
I think wherever he goes, that will be interesting. D'Angelo Russell, you know, with the whole airport incident aside.
Is he free?
Well, he's restricted. So restricted. I think.
So somebody's going to offer him and they got to match.
Yeah, they got to match.
Tobias Harris, he's another guy. If Kevin Durant does leave Golden State, I wouldn't mind seeing Tobias Harris go to Golden State. That might get pretty interesting. Porzingis, we know what's happening with him. Chris Middleton has a player option. I mean, DeMarcus Cousins, what's going to happen with him?
That's a big one.
Right. Mm-hmm. Is he going back to Golden State? Julius Randle, he's a guy who has a player option. Al Horford, another guy with a player option who'll likely opt in to that contract. But there's a lot of interesting situations. I think this year, I think we'll see some trades on draft night. And not just among draft picks. I think we'll see some big names moved on draft nights in package with, you know, picks. I want to see what the Hawks are going to do. I expect them to package that 8th and 10th pick for something. Either they'll move up or they'll try to lure somebody to Atlanta.
How many second round picks do they have?
Three.
See, so that's a lot of picks, man. They got to do something.
Yeah. Have to do something.
They only have that many slides on the team.
You don't want to be so young anyway, too, so you got to get some kind of veterans in there.
Right. So there's a lot that can happen this offseason. I'll go ahead and say it. This might possibly be the greatest NBA offseason we've ever seen, or the most interesting.
All right, G. I forgot to throw Boston in there and the Clippers, but I figure I'll let y'all do that.
I mean, especially Boston and the Clippers, there are the teams that have the cap space to get two max players. You know, it's fun to read all the predictions and all the speculation and seeing how players would fit in certain teams, especially with what they already have. I think Kawhi going to the Clippers is a great fit. It's a roster kind of made for him. They have that go-to guy. And he gets to go home. I feel like that is a foregone conclusion. But, you know, there are a lot of different options for him out there. Jimmy Butler's going to get a max deal wherever he goes. Kevin Durant and Kawhi and Kyrie Irving, while they could go to the Knicks, I still think they're going to Brooklyn. That is more their speed, and with the, you know, the neighborhood and all the hipsters, and you know, they're more flat earth believers for Kyrie to hang out with. So I still think that's a definite possibility. I think creating the narrative of Kyrie going to LA to reunite with LeBron is a little ridiculous. But Boston is very interesting to me, because this is, we've seen how long this process has been, as far as Danny Ainge hoarding all these picks and assets and trying to turn it into a star. And the prize has been Anthony Davis this entire time. So now that we know what the draft's going to be like the Celtics have 3 first round picks. They're not, he can't use any. Is he going to try to keep those guys, or is he trying to put that in a package for Anthony Davis? And what if they hit on those picks? Because they hit on 4 of their first round picks.
Yeah.
And then they sign free agents. So them trying to win with the future and win right now at the same time, this experiment has got to end. If they don't get Anthony Davis, I think Danny Ainge should just resign.
There it is.
So what do you think about the Scary Terry thing?
I think he spoke the truth. I think he has one more year before he's out. But
he'll be a restricted free agent this summer.
This summer?
Yeah.
Okay, well, somebody could. It's going to be interesting. I'm with you, Smooth. This may be the most interesting. I think I'm leaning more toward the Clippers. I just need to see the Jerry West effect. I just want to see the Jerry West effect.
And he just got an extension, Jerry West.
Definitely want to see the Jerry West effect. Because I think a lot of times we, you know, I don't know if we really give people with those type statues or the status that he holds a lot of credit for what he's done and how many franchises that he's actually influenced, you know. So I'm interested to see that. Definitely interested to see what Boston does. Obviously, the Atlanta Hawks being here from Atlanta. But the Clippers are going to be interesting, because this is the time of year where if they make moves, they can put their foot on the Lakers' neck and be the top dog in town.
Man, they could win 2 ties in a row, and they still wouldn't go in front of the Lakers.
Well, at least it'd have seemed that way.
Yeah.
I just say that, man. But when you hear that music, you already know it's time to boogie on up out of here. Notice the word play.
Hey, you play.
But look, I want to thank the crew for coming in, handling business as always. We rock and roll with it. Thanks for David, the CEO. Vibe TV. I don't know if y'all can get anybody that y'all pay, you know, like Hulu or Netflix, to call you up and just say, hey, man, I'm offering you a little bit of a deal. So the deal is SRT discount, promo code, 50% off. Go to vibetvapp.com and you will find the website there, and you can subscribe to whatever package that you want. So if you subscribe for a year package, you only go pay $75 for a year.
Real quick, if you're watching on Facebook Live right now, I'm giving everyone like a sneak peek of Vibe TV. You can watch the game right now live, and that's going to be enough. So back to you, Angel.
There it is. I mean, that's
you
it.
You got yeah, a, it's got live a sneak right peek now. Of how it looks.
Yeah, that's it. That is it right there. I can't tell you that no better than that. That's all I'm saying.
All the TV you want.
All the TV you want. You can use the Fire Stick. You can use the laptop. You can use the tablet. So it is what it is.
All the TV you want, and then some you don't.
Yes, sir. It's a parental control thing on there as well. So you're going to need that. But again, shout out to everyone who rocked the roll with us. Shout out to everybody on Facebook Live. Everybody who rocked the roll on my Facebook. Everybody who listened in their car who also listened. Want to give a shout out, birthday shout out to my cousin Kadar and baby girl, my baby girl. I got a baby girl shout out for her birthday to Netra for tomorrow. So big things popping in the month of May. Baby girl growing up, man. Growing up, baby.
There you go.
And Kadar told me to tell y'all, y'all keep rocking the road.
There it is. Hey, I just want to shout out because I wasn't here last week, so I didn't get to get the pre-Mother's Day shout out. So now I'm here. I'm going to give the belated Mother's Day shout out.
There you go.
Happy Mother's Day to all you mothers. Know that you are really the backbone of all the families. We would not be where we are without you, and we really appreciate every mother that has been in our lives, and even those who really didn't birth us but still were our mothers. We appreciate and love those too. And I want to send a special shout out to my wife, Tori. Thank you, sweetheart. Love you. Happy belated Mother's Day.
There it is.
Yeah, shout out to the entire crew, everybody on, well, wherever you are, all the tenants, wherever you are watching or listening. We appreciate it. And we don't talk politics much, but, you know, just keep an eye out on folks in Alabama and even here in Georgia. It's getting pretty serious with a lot of these bills and laws that are being passed. So, you know, just keep an eye out. That's
register to vote.
Yeah.
Exercise that right.
Yep.
Yep. IG.
Yeah, definitely register to vote. Very important. It's all about your local elections. Anyway. Shout out to the SRT crew, all the tenants. Shout out to my mom. And if you're watching on Facebook Live, tell other people, share the video, click the bell so you'll know when we go live.
There it is, man. And I also want to bring you up to the attention that my homeboy Marlon Irvin, who had a brain aneurysm a couple of years ago, he reached out to me, man. I was just so happy. I was just thrilled with emotions, and he reached out to me. His memory is coming back.
Oh, that's good.
And he just told the tale of the crew, what's up, man? And he hope we doing well. He's up in Maryland living with his father right now. So
shout out
to my main man, Marlon Irvin, and man, that's my guy. And with that being said, you know how we rock. If you don't like it, you better learn to love it, because it's the hottest show going today. Hand, let's roll.
Boogie. I'm headed home, baby.
Smooth.
It's your main man, H.O. from Bankhead. R.I.P. Mons, R.I.P. B.C. And if you love the show,
tell a friend.
And if you do,
for you Game of Thrones friends, Draka.
We out. Peace.